The greatest danger that you face at this point is a place of complacency. It is not time to slow down. It's kind of like the little boy that is jumping trying to ring the doorbell. And the preacher is walking down the street and sees him trying to ring the doorbell. And so the preacher crosses the road to where the little boy is at, calmly lays his hand on the little boy's shoulder, reaches up, and rings the doorbell. He leans down to where the little boy is at and says, "Now, what do we do?" And the little boy screamed, "We run." It's not time to stop. You have rattled the gates of hell. And now it's time to complete the victory that God has started to perform in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like I've come with a word from the Lord this morning. In John chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm going to skip around 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Then I'm going to 26. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 26, And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come and see a man who told me all things which I ever did, that ever I did. It is not this the Christ? You can be seated. I want to preach for a few minutes with the help of the Lord, an encounter with destiny, an encounter with destiny. So often we are guilty of just coming to church. We are a lot like those who see Jesus and we witness his miracles. They would follow and go to the meeting with him, but they never had an encounter with him. It is totally possible for you to have a meeting with God, to know that you have been in his presence, feel better about your situation, feel better about yourself, and not have had an encounter with him. But God is looking for some people today who are not afraid to have an encounter with Him. An encounter that will change you. Not just a quick happenstance and then it's gone. It is a life-changing moment. And when you have a life-changing moment that comes over you, you do not care about the status quo any longer. You are not affected by what people say and their response to your response of the moving of the Holy Ghost. When you have an encounter with God, you want everybody to know that something has happened in my life, and I want everybody to experience what God is doing for me. When you have a life-changing moment, you are not satisfied to keep it to yourself. But you want your neighbor to know it. You want the classmates to know it. You want professors at college to know it. You want the boss on the job to know that, hey, I've had an encounter with destiny and something has changed in my life and I will never be the same. If you study and think about the instances in the Bible, in the Word of God, where people have had an encounter and how their lives so changed that they never were the same. It was a shepherd boy that would stand on the hillside because no one else wanted to do what he was doing. He was the baby. He's the one that got called out to do all of these things. But it was there in those places that David would begin to write, I behold the beauty of your handiwork. I look at things that are around and I am amazed at how much you love us and that we are so wonderfully made in your image and in your likeness. He would pray prayers. But there was something that happened in the life of David. He is watching the flock. His brothers are at the house. Kind of like a government job. You ever passed a government job on the road? You got one working. You got 14 supervisors. If you are one that holds the flag, then God bless you. But there's even a supervisor that tells you how to hold the flag. They've really come up in the world. Now they got them on a pole where you can lean even. His brothers are at home. I don't know what they were doing. I'm sure they wouldn't play in video games because, duh, they didn't even have electricity. But my God, if God was to take electricity away from some of us, we would be, because a lot of things didn't happen. I listened to quotes. I watched as people retweeted quotes that was said during the conference that has just happened there in Oklahoma. And I, some of those quotes, I sat there and I shook my head and I went, oh God, help us. And those of you that will remember this quote that was said, I hope that something happens to you that your life is so changed and is so different. It was, if you can't stay awake, while the preacher's preaching on Sunday morning, then maybe you don't need to play your video game to 5 o'clock trying to win the next level. If you can respond to the beat of the drum and the sound of the music, and you can't respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost and to the preaching of the word, you need to pray through. Because I can tell you, you can tune in and listen to somebody that's full of the devil, and you get the volume just right, and you get the rhythm going just right, and you feel something. But there is nothing that takes a place with a divine encounter when you walk in to the presence of God and you feel Him in a life-changing moment. Whatever was the reason that David was alone with the sheep on this particular day, I do not know. But I find that the man of God walked into his house and says, I have come to anoint one of you king over Israel. And they marched by. It was not the one that was the biggest, that had the broadest shoulder, that had worked out that morning at the gym. It was not the one that was so intellect in his thinking. Because as they passed by, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, quit looking on the outward appearance. I am getting ready for there to be a divine encounter that is going to change the destiny of somebody. And Samuel said to Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. This scripture really come to life with me, because there's a lot of people that says that this ruddy complexion, or ruddy, that he was red-headed and freckle-faced. God blessed us with a redhead. I call it mood hair. They had mood rocks and mood rings. Anybody remember them? Well, she's got mood hair. I could tell by the shade of the red when she walked in what kind of mood she was in. I can talk to you after church and give you some pointers what to look for in case you hadn't discovered them all yet. But the Bible says he was ruddy of complexion, ruddy complexion. He was beautiful, a beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look to. And the Lord says, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And when he had this encounter, I would dare say that he thought all of my troubles is going to all be over. I'm not going to have any more worries. Everything is going to be okay. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be distressed. I'm not going to let nothing disturb me. It's going to be just every day is going to be banana pudding. They're going to quit growing broccoli. There won't be no spaghetti. It's going to be just some of the most beautiful lamb chops you've ever seen. It's going to be biscuits and syrup. It's just going to be awesome. And he walks into the field, and what does he encounter? A bear looks at him. He faces a lion. He faces a giant. And on top of that, the one that he's going to take his place is wanting to take his head off, because the anointing of the Lord has departed from one and is now resting upon David because of the encounter that he has had. And he runs for his life. And when all of this has happened, he can pen words like, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Why? Because I've had an encounter with destiny, and I know what is going to happen. You can read and you can see where people would meet with Jesus. He would heal them. He would touch them. He fed them, yet there was nothing ever said concerning them again. You can find where Jesus raised the dead, but nothing was said about that person again. Or there's any proof beyond the miracle that they did anything with the supernatural that Jesus did in their life. I started this with saying, it's not time to sit. But we have rattled the gates of hell. We have rung the doorbell. And it's time that we let the devil know that we are going to fight. We are not going to be complacent. The problem is that we have a meeting with Jesus, but there is no life-changing encounter. Those of you under the sound of my voice that you've carried around the same problems and the same needs for years. It's totally possible to come to the house of the Lord every time the doors are open. But only have a meeting with Jesus. But in this place today, Jesus wants to do more. He wants to take your life. He wants to give you a life-changing encounter. The scripture that I read, she was not just an ordinary woman. While Bible scholars all agree, or at least they tend to, that
The woman was at the well at the sixth hour. It was not time to go get water. But the reason that she went was to avoid the rest that come to get water when it was cool. She was not just a woman, but she was known around town. She didn't have a stellar place in society. She was not on the top of the wish list for guests at social parties. She was not a woman that you called and said, hey, would you like to go to the mall and let's spend the day? Nobody wanted to have anything to do with this woman. She was one to be avoided.
I've seen people like that before. A preacher friend of mine said that when he was going to high school, he grew up in a Methodist home, and there was this girl that was there that was Pentecostal, a Pentecostal preacher's kid. His Methodist mother looked at him and said, if you go out with that girl, or I catch you talking to her, I'm going to kill you and tell the Lord you died. In other words, leave her alone. He said, I had enough of the fear of God and my mama. He said that I walked another direction when I seen her coming. I almost said her name. Jesus, help me. She's still a devil today. Because she only chose to have a meeting and never have an encounter. There are people that you need to avoid in your life. But I'm going a step further and flip it the other way. When you have an encounter with destiny, something will happen in your life. There was not a lot of friends. She was not the one that you sat with and drank tea with in the garden. She had a reputation. Some of you, believe it or not, I asked the young people to be in here. I want you to hear me. Some of you need to be careful. You're going to wind up with a reputation. We live in a world that if you don't get blunt and plain, nobody really knows what you're talking about. I'm doing my best to keep this where all audiences can walk in. But sometimes you just got to tell it like it is. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I know it's going to go against the grain. And I know people ain't going to hear nothing else that I've said the rest of my message, but you ain't heard me up to this point anyway. You know what the difference in a whore and a prostitute is? That. Money. Where's all my ameners at? Every Bible scholar you read after looks at it and says, she's married, been married five times, and the one she's with now is not her husband. They all called her one thing. The Bible is even distinguished between a whore and a prostitute. Jesus, have mercy. If you think you've been quiet, it's going to shut me down. If you got to go, it's 11:18 because I've got a feeling I might be here for a while. Because there was one that was a prostitute that walked in and anointed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. If you'd have known what kind of woman, I mean, this is twice in the scripture. You can find it. The first time they said, if you would have known what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't have had nothing to do with her. You leave her alone. I don't care what you have done from 11:18 back. When you have an encounter with God, something changes in your life that you are never the same. And they said they looked at Jesus sitting on the well side talking to this woman, and they pondered it, but nobody had the guts to say, do you know who you're talking to? I'm gonna put my money up. I ain't worried about the two that I've talked about. I'm worried about thieves now. That's another subject. There is a possibility that she was the topic of talk at the Garden Club meeting. She was the kind of woman that the room went quiet when she walked in. She didn't have friends. She was avoided. And when you look and you study out why that she was at the well at the time that she was. Because when you have been beaten by society enough, when you have been shunned enough by society, once you have been talked about enough, once you've had people have nothing to do with you, you don't want to be around anybody anymore. You want to be left alone. You develop the attitude that this woman developed. I'll do things my own time and my own way.
I don't have to talk to anybody. There are people sitting here this morning that you go to Walmart at midnight to keep from talking to anybody.
Because you think the crowd is less. She avoided the rest of the town. After all, she was nothing but some home-breaking harlot. She didn't want to be around people. She tried to stay away from everybody else. She went grocery shopping at odd hours. The business that she was in was the avoiding business. If we're not careful, life has a way of putting us at the place where we only try to survive. If I can make it through one more day without a lot of things happening, I'll be okay. And we carry around baggage. And in this place that is still one of the most beautiful buildings to me in Pentecost, there are people that are sitting here that you have baggage that you walked in here with. Some of you have learned to live with it rather than deal with it. You're like the woman at the well. You're in the avoiding business. But I've come to tell you on this Sunday morning that you are in a place where it will not just be a meeting, but you can have a life-changing encounter, because the good God of eternity wants to give you a life-changing moment. He wants something to happen to you. Yes, we believe in the new birth experience. I've dealt with holiness. I've dealt with a new birth. I'm going to deal with oneness Tuesday night. But we do believe in repentance. Not just sorrow, but a 180 degree turn from sin and changing our ways. We believe in baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. We believe that the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is evidence that the Holy Ghost has come into your life. Not some garbage prayer language that has been taught to you in a back room. There's some that you have the Holy Ghost, but you need to break off the elements that have had you bound for years. David could have looked at the bear and the lion and the giant, and he could have tried to avoid them. But I find it says where I slew the bear, I slew the lion, I picked up 5 smooth stones, and I walked out and said, you come at me with shield and with sword, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. When you have an encounter with destiny, you are the only one that can stand in the way of that destiny.
destiny being fulfilled.
You could move past some of my remarks and catch up with where I'm at for a minute. It's time for somebody in this house to have an encounter with God. It's time for you to have a life-changing moment. It's time for your destiny to change in your life. I'm trying to remember what that second song was, Brother Brokaw. That's what I want you to play. You asked me earlier, and while I've been standing here, I've been thinking, oh, that's all I know, second song. I skipped over some verses, and Jesus said unto her and said, answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. But she didn't stop there. She said, Sir, give me this water where I don't have to come back in the heat of the day. I'm tired being avoided, tired of being talked about. I'm tired of being ridiculed. I'm tired of being the social outcast. I'm tired of the room going quiet when I walk in. I'm tired of walking down the street and people point their finger and say, there she goes. Sir, give me of this water that I will never thirst again, neither that I have to come and draw water from this well. I want to be left alone. I want to be forgot about. What she was really asking, if you break it down into the language that we know today, is there somebody that can take my shame away? Is there somebody that can change me? Is there something that can happen in my life that will remove the reputation that I have? Are you really telling me there's somebody that can change my destiny? You mean there's somebody that can remove the embarrassment that I feel every time I see people watching? Can what you do for me remove the shame that I've brought on myself through wrong choices? You can remove those things that I avoid because of why I avoid them. Things that I want in my life. Let's stand. And Jesus looked at her and said, "That are who I speak of. I'm He. I'm the one that can do it. Then left her water pots and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man who I have had an encounter with that has changed my destiny, and I will never walk into a place with my head held down. I will not come draw water any longer in the heat of the day, but I'm going to show up because somebody I have met that has changed everything." Is it possible that you stood in the presence of Almighty God. Lay aside the fact that there was 20,000 that was there, talking to the young people for a minute. Lay aside the fact there was 20,000 people there. Lay aside the fact that the decibel level, according to the meters, what they're saying in that basketball arena, reached the decibel levels it did. I don't know. There's, you start pulling stuff off of Facebook, it's questionable. I understand that. There's no denying that I sat and listened for over an hour. The roar. And I was listening through little speakers on an iPad and an iPhone. And they say that the roar was so loud in that place. But is it possible you just had a meeting and you didn't have an encounter? Is it possible that your destiny was not changed? And because we are not going to stay where we are, but we're going forward, I think it would be in order especially to our young people, but I'm opening this up to everybody for you to come around the front and let something happen in your life that it's not just a meeting. But it becomes an encounter with destiny in your life. That when you walk out of this place on Sunday morning, that you just simply say, come see a man.